Let's bring our attention, bring our hearts, our minds to God's Word and what He has for us today. As a church family, as you guys have heard, we're in the middle of our 30 days of prayer. We are a church that is devoted to praying and to seeking God on a regular basis, but this is just a special 30 days of commitment and dedication to pray and express our deep dependency on God, and this time has been really good. So glad to pray with you guys. During these 30 days, we've been praying before worship at 9:45, a time where we're gathering and praying for what God is going to do today in worship and kids' life. We're praying daily each day. We're stopping and we're praying for our church family, for what God is doing in our church, but also what God is doing in our community. So we're praying for our neighbors as well. We're out doing prayer walks, as you have heard, and you're going to see that in your bulletin when our next prayer walk is. And basically what we're doing is we're picking neighborhoods, and we're just praying that God would bless them, that they would know Christ, that they would have a church home, those types of things. And each week we're opening God's Word and seeing what God is teaching us, and then we're just taking that to Him in prayer. So it's just been a special time for us. 2 weeks ago, we looked at four reasons as to why we pray. We saw these four reasons. One is we pray to express our need for God. When we pray, that's what we're doing. We're expressing our dependency on God. We're praying to experience that close relationship with Him. We're praying that God would ultimately be glorified, and we pray that we can be a part of what God is doing. And so last week and this week, we've been looking at what God is doing, what He is already doing, and how we can be a part of that. Whatever He's doing, we want to be a part of that. And so last week we saw that Jesus is in the life-saving, life-changing business. We know that Jesus came to save us from our sins, to restore the relationship with us so that we could have eternal life and to have that eternal life with Him. That's the gospel, church, that Jesus came, right? And He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins and then rose again. But then we see Jesus, He tells us that we, once we know Christ, we're now to go and tell others about Christ. If we've been saved by Jesus, we're to go and tell others about Him and His good news. Tell them who Jesus is, what He's done, and how much He loves them. And so last week we prayed about that. God, help us be a part of what You're doing. We want to be a part of people knowing Jesus. And so we prayed for those in our lives that need Jesus. And when it comes to sharing the gospel, it isn't one of those things where we wonder, God, do You really want me to do this? Right? Do You really want our church to do this? That's easy, church. The answer is yes. Jesus says, church, go and do this. Right? We don't really have to question that too much. This morning, we're going to look at another one of those from Jesus, a command that Jesus gives to Christians and to the church. And church, I think it's one that we can sometimes neglect. One that we can forget or even put on the back burner as though it's not very important. But as Jesus followers and as His church, we're going to hear from God. We're going to hear about the importance of what He's doing and what He's calling us to do. We're going to look at John chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, your devices, go ahead and turn there. It'll be up on the screen as well. And we have Bibles in the back for you if you need that. And we're going to see Jesus talk about love. We got kids in here today. Amen. Praise God for our kids. You know, we do this for a couple different reasons. We want the kids to experience corporate worship. But we also want to be able to give our kids' life workers a little bit of a break. So every time we have a fifth Sunday, most of our kids' life workers get off. But kids, I need your help. All right? I need your help, young people. Okay, we're going to talk about love today. And so I need you guys to help me sing a song this morning. All right? Who knows Jesus loves me? Yeah? Tim knows it. All right, so we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. You ready, kids? I need you guys to sing so that all the adults can learn the words. Are you ready? Here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know. Keep going.
Boo tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Here, let's hear it, kids. Hey, praise God. Way to go, guys. Man. That's good stuff. All right. Man, they didn't even know that was going to happen. They just knocked it out. Church, we're going to talk about love today. Right? We know that Jesus came because of his great love for us, and we're going to see that Jesus leaves the greatest example of love for us. And he's going to set the bar on how we are to love one another. Jesus came to love, and he commands us to love. Specifically, we're going to see how he calls us to love one another. Leading up to where we'll be in John chapter 13, we see the reason why Jesus came. Right? We know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, right? And whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came, church, because of his great love for us. Philippians 2:7 tells us this, that Jesus emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, as we celebrate his Christmas, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. This is the love of Jesus. Jesus loves us, church, with a visible, humble, sacrificial, serving kind of love. His love for you and me led him to leave heaven, become flesh, and to follow God's plan to save us. He came, church, to go to the cross. His love led him to the cross where he would give his life in our place. And then as we see in Jesus, in his ministry, he begins to tell his disciples, as they're doing ministry, he begins to tell them, he says, guys, we're going to Jerusalem. And when we get to Jerusalem, this must happen. He said, I will be betrayed. I will be delivered to the chief priest. I will be condemned to death. I will be mocked. I will be spit upon. I will be scourged, which means tormented, really beyond our imagination. And I will be killed. And then on the third day, I will rise again. Church, this is the astounding part of his love. Jesus knew it was coming. He knew the cross was coming. He knew that the pain was coming. And yet he walked right toward it. Because his death and resurrection was the only way for you and for me to be forgiven of our sins and to be with him for eternity. I got to meet with a lady this past week that's in her last days of her life. And I'll tell you, man, I just had tears of joy whenever she told me, I know Jesus. And when I leave this world, she did say, I'm not ready, right? But when I leave this world, I'm going to be with Jesus. And then in the last hours of Jesus' life, in John chapter 13, Jesus, he sits down and he has a meal with his disciples. Church, and he sits right next to the man who is about to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus, knowing what was coming, he spends that time relating and spending time loving his disciples. And he begins to teach them. He begins to teach him how to serve one another and how to love one another. He gets up and he washes their feet. We may look at that and be like, man, that's gross, right? And it was gross, right? They walked around in sandals, right? In this hot weather. And so washing feet was reserved for the lowest person on the totem pole. That was the role of a servant. But Jesus, who is God in the flesh, Lord over all, one that one day every knee will bow down to, because of his love for them, he served them and washed their feet. And then he used that moment to tell them what he was about to do for them, where he was about to make it possible for them to be cleansed of their sins, where he would wipe away all the mess and sin in their life if they trusted in Jesus to save them. All while this is happening, don't forget who's still there right by Jesus, the one who is about to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. I repeat that because sometimes I wonder about how we betray him and how we ignore him for something even cheaper than that. And Jesus comes to the point where he tells them, someone that's here with us is going to turn on me. Someone's going to betray me. Can you imagine the love? Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. Jesus had taught him, did ministry with him, took care of him, loved him, ate with him, served him, did life with him, washed his feet, all while knowing Judas would sell him out for 30 pieces of silver where he would die. And then we come to John chapter 13, verse 30. Judas, he gets up and he leaves Jesus. He leaves his friends to go and betray. And then we come to verse 31. I shared all of that, church, because that talks about the love of Jesus. I would love for you to stand with me to honor God and his word. And we're going to read John chapter 13, verse 31 through 35. You guys just follow along from the screen or from your Bibles as I read. The Bible says this: when Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I've told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I'm going, you cannot come. I give you a new command: love one another. Just as I have loved you, you're also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Let's pray, church. God, as we open your word and hear what you have for us today, God, I pray, Lord, as the kids sang this morning so beautifully, God, that we would be reminded that you love us. And God, I think some of us need to hear that and be reminded of that this morning. No matter what's going on in life, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what someone else has done for us or to us or what we have done, you love us. But God, you also call us to love one another here at Authentic Life Church in that way. And so God, I pray, Lord, that you would teach us today. Help us respond to your love, to be filled by your love and to pour that out to others. God, be in charge today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When we come to verse 31, this is a major point in the life and ministry of Jesus. It's also a life-changing point in the life of the disciples and followers of Jesus. Because when Judas walked out that door to go and betray Jesus, the final moments for Jesus and his salvation were set in motion. Soon, Jesus would be arrested, he would be falsely accused, he would be crucified. And so Jesus says this, he says, "Now the Son of Man," that's just a title for Jesus, "now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him." Jesus is saying, the moment is now. It is happening. Ready, set, go, right? Jesus came for this moment. Church, Jesus didn't come just to be a good teacher or a good example. He came to love us fully and completely. And the Bible tells us that God the Father is glorified when Jesus, God the Son, obeys this plan to save us. Scripture tells us that God is glorified. He brings glory to himself by saving us who didn't deserve it. And so Jesus, God in the flesh, is glorified. If we look a few chapters later in John chapter 17, we see a little more of this. Jesus says to the Father, he says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which with you've given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Church, knowing the time was here for Jesus to accomplish the work for which he came, knowing it was time to give his life in your place and in my place on the cross, Jesus, knowing all of this is set in motion, salvation for you and me through Jesus is about to be accomplished. And Jesus is looking ahead to the moment when he would be glorified after he rises again, when he's back with the Father in heaven. Philippians 2 tells us this, that after Jesus went to the cross for you and me because of his love for us, it says this: "For this reason, God highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every single tongue will confess," church, "that Jesus Christ is Lord." He is boss. He is in charge, to the glory of God the Father. Church, Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to be arrested and humiliated and spit upon and tortured and crucified. And he is looking forward to when he is glorified. The time is now. Jesus is about to show us the greatest love. And in verse 33, Jesus says something that will rock the world of these disciples. He says this, he says, "My little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." The phrase "little children" might sound a little strange, especially if you're a grown man. You're like, "Man, I don't know that I want someone calling me a little children." But that phrase, it's the only time that Jesus uses this phrase, and then John uses it a lot in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. but it's a term that was actually used by a good teacher or a leader when they were using it as a term of endearment for those they were teaching and leading. Does that make sense? So it wasn't necessarily calling them babies, right? This was a term of endearment for those who were following Jesus. You know what Jesus is doing? He's getting them ready. He's preparing them for when they will not physically be with him. And so what does Jesus mean when he says, you cannot go where I go? It's two things. He's about to go to the cross for them. He's about to go to the cross for you and for me. He's about to do what no one else can do. That's why one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, because no one else can save us, church. He's about to pay the price that we owe because of our sin. He's about to die in our place and in their place. But he's also about to go and be with the Father. He's saying, you've gone with me just about everywhere, but now I'm going to go and be with the Father, and you cannot go at this point. I would assume they would probably be terrified at this news. For you and me, we can read the promises of God. The Holy Spirit is going to be with us to empower us, right? We see that in John or Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We know that when we are saved and we belong to Jesus, Jesus promises to be with us always, even to the end of the age. We read that in Matthew chapter 28. But at this point, the disciples haven't heard that from Jesus yet. And things are about to change drastically for them. Jesus is trying to prepare them for when he leaves physically. And to do that, to help them, he's going to give them a command that will help them tremendously. And church, it will help us tremendously. The words that Jesus is about to give to these disciples is something they need. It's not optional. And it's something that you and I need. He knows that when he's gone, when he's no longer physically present with them as he has been, he knows they will need each other. But they'll not only need one another, but they will need a love for one another. And so he gives them a command. And church, remember, when God gives us a command to follow, it's not to ruin our lives, right? We've all been kids at one point, and we get those, hey, kids, you can't do this. And then we hate our parents because we think that they're just trying to ruin our lives. Amen, church? But here's what Jesus is doing, and probably the same thing parents are doing. They're giving you a command because it's not good for you to do what you want to do. Right? You need to do this. Why? Because it's good for you. It's what's best for you. It's what they need. And so Jesus, look at what he says here in verse 34. Jesus says this. He says, I give you, Christ followers, a new command. He said, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you're to love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. He says, love one another just as I have loved you. Now, Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, he talks to us about love. He tells us that our life as Christians is to be known by our love. Sometimes we're known more about what we're for or against than we're known by our love. Amen, church? You don't have to say amen. I'll say it for you. It's true. Sometimes people look and say, you're Christians. You're only against this. We should be known by our love, church. First and foremost, we're to be known by our love for the Lord God. And then we're to be known by our love for our neighbors. Jesus says this. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's our neighbor, church? It's anyone that God puts in your path. And so we hear that, but now Jesus says, I've got a new command for you. And so they're still to love their neighbors, but here Jesus is talking to them in a different context. He's talking directly to his disciples. He's talking to Christ followers. He's talking to the church family. This is written a long time ago, but he's talking to us today here at Authentic Life Church. When we see the phrase one another in the New Testament, it is in reference to the church. It's in reference to the family of God. And Jesus is about to talk to them about their love for one another. He's talking to us, Authentic Life Church, about our love for one another. And the first truth we see this morning is this. This is on the back of your bulletin. At Authentic Life Church, Jesus calls us to love one another. He doesn't suggest it. It's not an option. He calls us to love one another within the church body. Now, this does not mean that we're not to love the world anymore. Amen, church? That command is still there. But it does mean that there is a love that we share here in this family when we're united by Christ, and we share it together. as his family, as his body, as his church. We're still to love our neighbor. That doesn't change. We still love God first and foremost. That doesn't change. But Jesus is having a family meeting here. He's talking to the family, and he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's given a new command for the family on how we're to love. By the way, it's important to know, if you're struggling whether Jesus is God or not, only God can give a command. Jesus, God the Son, is giving a command here, church. And so Jesus came because he so loves us. But then he proves his love for them and for us, not only in words, but in action. And now, as he is about to go to the cross, and then he's going to go be with the Father, he tells us that we are to love one another. And church, when Jesus gives a command, again, it's not negotiable, right? You guys have seen the memes. You know, God, I know you say love everybody, but does that include Justin? Right? Do you know what Justin is? He's good, man. But you get what I mean? Like we do that. Are you sure, God, I'm supposed to love the Democrats and Republicans? Here, I got one for you. Are you sure I'm supposed to love the drivers in Tucson? Right? Come on, y'all. Some of y'all are those drivers that need extra loving. Amen? Come on. Church, when it comes to loving one another in the church family, there is never a time or place in which this command does not apply. The Bible tells us that when we are saved by Jesus, when we trust in Jesus, we become part of the family of God. The Bible tells us that we are immediately adopted into the family of God. No longer spiritual orphans, but you've got a family. And we are now brothers and sisters in Christ. So, hate to give you the bad news, but if you're saved, you're stuck with me for eternity. Amen? Come on, man. Brothers and sisters, we're going to spend eternity with one another. But here, Jesus takes love to a new level. Remember, it says it's a new command. It's not that we're just to love one another. He says, love one another, church, just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. For them, they were hearing this for the first time. But for us, we read this passage. We've read this passage. It's probably very familiar to us. And so for us at Authentic Life Church, Jesus reminds us to love one another as he loved us. We need those reminders, don't we? Some people are hard to love, church. Some of y'all are hard to love. I can be hard to love. My wife says I'm the easiest person to love, but I'm getting a look. It's a look of love, church. We're to love as he's loved us. If you can look at Scripture and see how God has loved you, that's how you're to love the person next to you. Jesus knows that his disciples and that we are going to need this kind of love from one another. Church, you know what this actually means? It means that we owe this to our brother. Just as I have loved you. They need that kind of love. It's a big love, church. And Jesus has shown them what this kind of love looks like. But in a few hours, church, he is about to define that love fully for them. He's already shown that he loves them by being with them, by teaching them, caring for them, shepherding them, serving them, washing their feet. But they're about to see his love for them, and we're going to see his love for us fully defined and fully lived out. Because here's what Romans 5:8 says to us. I love this. Jesus doesn't just say, I love you, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. He proves it. He lives it out. And that while we were yet sinners, while we're still sinning against God, he died for us. I think about this, church, because sometimes our love is conditional. Charles, I'll love you if you do this. I'll love you, Tucker, if you do this. But God says, even though you are actively sinning against me, I'm still going to love you. Jesus didn't just say, I love you. He showed it by serving them, sacrificing them, meeting their needs, having compassion on them, and ultimately giving up of himself, giving his life. And the same is true for us. Jesus isn't telling us to wear a I love my church t-shirts. By the way, if anybody wants to make one of those, I'd love to have one. But he is saying the person that we are to love here in the church, they're not only to hear it, but they should experience it. They should experience it. Our aim is for us not only to be heard, but to be known by our love. to be known by our love for God, to be known for our love for our community and our neighbor, but also to be known for our love, by our love for one another. And this is love for each other. This love for each other is to be just as Christ loved you and me, just as Christ loved us, church. And this command, it transforms our life. If God's love doesn't transform your life, you've not experienced his love. When Jesus says that the greatest command is to love God with all we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves, it should and will transform your life. Our love for God, it transforms everything about us. His love for us, church, leads us to love him with all we have. We can only love because we were first loved. Our love for him, it drives us to want to be with him and to pray and worship and to live a life that's pleasing for him. This love for him, it leads us to obey him. There's a really heavy verse that Jesus says. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's our love for him that drives us to obey him. And so our love for God transforms us. This love for God, it leaves our church to live for, to walk with, to love and glorify God. And then our love for our neighbor, it changes us as well. We begin to see those around us not as bad drivers or someone that votes different, but we begin to see them as the Lord does. He so loves them. Every person that you see, every person you're sitting next to in here, you. Jesus so loves you. Every person we see, Jesus so loves them. He came for them. He desires for them to be saved and have a relationship with him. He has compassion for them. Church, your neighbors, he died for them. And so our love for neighbors, it leads us to have compassion for those God places in our life, to serve them, to care for them, to pray for them, to go and be with them and tell them about Jesus.
And then we have a special command for our family, for you and I, to love one another as Jesus loved. And church, this love will transform your life. It will transform our church. And because we've experienced the mercy, the forgiveness, the new life in Christ, we are now commanded, but we also have the honor to love one another right here at Authentic Life Church. And when we love one another in this way, we honor God, we bring God glory, right? But when we love each other in this way, right, when we love as Jesus has loved us, it is what is best for us, church. It's what's best for one another. It's what's best for the person sitting next to you. It is best for the one being loved, right? When we love one another as Jesus loves us, Jesus is saying that that fills a need. Church, we need this kind of love, is what Jesus is saying. I need it. You need it. I need to be loved by you, church. Amen? You need to be loved by me. We need to be loved by one another. And so when we think about this, here in our own church family, I want us to see some truths that we need to know about loving one another. This is number 3 on your notes. The first is this. Our love for one another should be evident. It should be evident, church. How do we know that? Because God's love for you wasn't kept a secret. There's proof. There's evidence. There were steps. There was a life given. And so those in this family, let's just lay it out there. If you're in this family, you shouldn't have to guess on whether you're loved or not. We should experience it. You should experience being loved, and others should experiencing you love them. Those in your life group, they should see it and experience. There are many relationships that struggle because the words, I love you, are said, but they aren't always experienced. Are you with me, church? Marriage relationships, friendship relationships. Are you guys with me? Right? I mean, you can say I love you all you want, but if they don't experience it, it's not true to them. And church, the only way to truly love one another in this way is to truly know them and to be with them. It would be pretty hard to love like Jesus if we only see or talk to one another one day a week. Let that sit with you for a second. You cannot experience love, and you cannot love if we only experience life together one day a week. Everybody okay? This is why serving with one another is important. This is why life groups and small groups are so important. This is why we go out and do life together, why it's so important, so we can love one another.
So first, our love for one another, bless you, should be evident. Next, our love for one another is to be a Christ-like sacrificial kind of love. This is us giving of ourselves. It's being humble. It's thinking highly of others. It's serving one another. It's meeting needs of one another. It's caring for them in a way that they need. It's giving what you have to meet a need of someone else in here. Church, a Christ-like love is sacrificial. A Christ-like love will cost you something. Did we hear that? We think about having agape love as a great thing. We look at that, and that's a God kind of love. Right? That's a good thing, agape. It's like the only Greek word all of us know. Like, agape, right? We know that word. But in their culture, it wasn't a word that was too highly thought of. In fact, whenever you read a lot of their literature, you don't see agape love a lot. Why? Because if you had agape love for someone, you were considered weak, you were soft, you were a pushover. They wanted to experience love, but a love where they received something and where it benefited them. But church, that's Jesus went above and beyond that. Jesus sacrificed and gave it all, and he's calling us to love one another sacrificially with a Christ-like family kind of love. And then look at me to verse 35. Jesus says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Church, when we love one another as Jesus loved us, then the world will know that we belong to him. I want to pause for a second. I'm all for the ichthus, the fish on the back of your car. I'm all for Facebook saying Christian. I'm all for us wearing Christian t-shirts and blasting K-Love or Family Life Radio when we're driving down the road. David Crowder, you know. I mean, everybody knows you love Jesus if you listen to David Crowder. If you didn't listen to David Crowder, you should start listening to David Crowder. But Jesus says we're not known as Christ followers by those things. It's by our love for one another. Church, when we love one another as Jesus loved us, the world will know that we belong to him. For 3 years, these disciples, they were known as having been with Jesus. People knew they were followers of Christ because they were with him physically. When Jesus said, follow me, what did they do? They gave up everything to go and follow him. They served with him. They learned from him. They prayed with him. They ministered with him. They went where he went and did what he did. They obeyed what he commanded, all while he was there with them physically. But now in verse 33, Jesus tells them, I'm with you only a little while longer, and where I'm going, you can't go, not yet, right? You're going to be with the Father and me in heaven. But Jesus tells them, people have known you were mine, you were my followers because you followed me, you were with me physically. But now there's a new way that others in the world will know that you're mine. Now let me pause here for a second, because we see throughout the New Testament that when people see our lives are to imitate. They are to look more and more like Jesus. Ephesians 5 says that as children of God, we're to imitate him. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says that we're to imitate Christ. In fact, you go back to the book of Acts, Christian, the term Christian, the title Christian, wasn't something that you would always wear as a badge of honor. People saw these Christians, they saw Christ followers' lives. They saw that they were imitating Jesus. They saw they were following Jesus. They were living for Jesus. And they said, oh, you're one of those Christians. You're one of those Christ followers. So it doesn't end. We are still known as his by following him and walking with him and living as he calls us to live. But Jesus in this moment, after being physically with them for the last few years, and he's now going to leave them physically, Jesus says, this is how people will know that you're mine, when they look at the family and they see this kind of love for one another. Church, this kind of love for one another should set us apart. I loved growing up in the family that I have. I had friends of mine that just wanted to come and be a part of our family. We were just as messed up as the rest of you, right? But we loved each other. Are you with me, church? Man, we loved each other. I remember Jessica saying at one point, if we ever break up, I'm going to marry your brother because I want to be a part of this family. Amen? Right? I didn't ask permission. Am I okay? Yeah. We got married. Everything's good, okay? Church, when we planted Authentic Life Church, one of the things that was really important is when new guests come in, they're not just paying attention about how you treat them. That's important. But they're paying attention to how we treat one another within the family. It It's this love for one another in the church family. Church, our love for one another has another purpose. It is to glorify God. It's because we need it. But our Christ-like love for one another is to point the world to Jesus. When they see us love one another, it shows them God's love. It shows them the love Jesus has for them. It shows them God's design for his family. Jesus says, when the world looks at you, they'll know that we are his when we have a Christ-like love for one another. Church, is your love for one another in this family, is it evident? Is your love for one another here sacrificial? Is your love for one another here pointing other people to Jesus? As we close, we're praying to be used by God to be a part of what he's doing. Church, God is love. Amen. He is love. He came because of his great love for us, and he's calling us to love one another in this way. He's calling us to love one another with a love that is going to cost you something. A love that the Bible says is to be stretched. A love that is patient and kind. A love that endures all things. You know, that passage that we read at funeral, or excuse me, at weddings, the greatest moment in your life. The Bible says you have to love me, babe, okay? That's written to the church. When it says love is patient, love is kind, love and endures all things, that's written to the church. Paul's correcting a behavior that they weren't loving each other well. When people see us here at Authentic Life Church, let them see us have a Christ-like love for one another. And church, as we close, because we're having 30 days of prayer, let's take this to the Lord. What is God teaching you this morning when it comes to love and loving one another? Is your love evident? Is it Christ-like? Is it sacrificial? Is your love pointing the world to Jesus? The last thing in your note is a simple prayer. God, would you help us love one another in a way that shows the world what the love of Christ looks like in action? Help us love one another in a way that shows the world what the love of Christ looks like in action. Church, think about what God can do in and through us when we love each other in this way. So I want to invite us to take some time to pray and ask God, am I loving others here at Authentic Life Church in a tangible, Christ-like love kind of way? So as Justin plays, I just want you guys to have your time with the Lord. And while if you are saved, be praying. I want to talk to those that right now that aren't saved, those that don't know Jesus. Take that time and just pray, bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're not saved, I would love to talk to you just for a second. Jesus came because God so loved you. You. If there was no one else, he would have come for you because he loves you. Some of us really need to hear that this morning because maybe you haven't been really well loved. Maybe those that should have loved you well didn't love you well or didn't love you at all. But Jesus, the one that created you, says, I love you in such a way that I'm going to be with you and I'm going to give my life for you. Even when we're sinning against him, he says, I'm going to come and prove my love for you and give my life for you on the cross, even while you're sinning against me. Church, the reality is if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus, one sin separates us from God. One sin separates us from God because he's perfect and holy, and so God the Son came and gave his life for you. You know what Jesus says? He says, all you need to do is believe in me. Believe that I am God. Believe that I came to save you from your sins. Believe that I took your sins and died for them and I was buried and that I rose again. You need to believe in that. You need to know that I'm Lord. Jesus says, you just got to follow me. Give your life to me. And so if you're here today and there's never been a time in your life where you have said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life and I believe that you died for my sins and I want to follow you. If that's not happened in your life, the Bible says we're not children of God yet. We're not saved yet. We won't spend eternity with him. But Jesus made it super easy, church, because there's nothing you can do to earn God. There's nothing you can do to earn his salvation and forgiveness and eternity with him. Jesus did all of it. And the Bible says you just need to respond. You just need to believe. You just need to call on Jesus to save you.
And so if there's anybody in here today, while the church is praying, if there's anybody in here today that would say, you know what? I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to experience his love. I want him to save me from my sins, and I want to spend eternity with him. If that's you today, I would love for you to slip your hand up. I'm not going to call you up. You're not going to have to come up here and sing a solo or anything. I just want you to lift your hand up, and then I want you to look me in my eye and say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want Jesus to save me from my sins. If you're online, I would love for you to email me at jeff@authenticlifeaz.com. But church, you can know today that if you were to leave this world, you would spend eternity with him, because Jesus so loved you, God so loved you, he gave his life for you. You just need to call on him to save you. If that's you today and said, I want to give my life to Jesus today, I want to be loved in that way, I want to be his child, I want to be forgiven of sins that people don't even know about, I would love for you to raise your hand and just look at me. You can also talk with me after church. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, as your church is praying all around here today on how we can love one another better, we pray, God, that we would do that. We pray, Lord, that when guests come in here, they see us love one another in such a way they said, I want to be a part of that. And they find out that that love is only how we've been loved by Jesus in the first place. We should be known by our love for you. We should be known by our love for the community. We should be known by our love for one another. And so, God, because you first loved us, help us love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.